Morning. Good to see everyone. If you will, turn your song books to 716. Good to have Daryl and Karen with us too. 716. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. God is so real. God is so real. God is so real. He's so good to Him so. I love Him so. He's so good to me. God answers prayer. God answers prayer. God answers prayer. He's so good to me. He'll come again. He'll come again. He'll come again. He's so
Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you, thanking for this day, this beautiful day, to come before you, study your word, and to be able to sing these songs unto you. God, we ask you to be with Daryl today as he presents his lesson here from your word, that we're able to come with an open mind and heart, that we are able to apply what we learned today to our lives and become better Christians. God, we ask you to be with those that are unable to be with us, with various health ailments, not feeling well, upcoming tests, procedures, that you're able to provide comfort to them during their challenging times. God, thank you for our many blessings. In Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Today's Bible reading comes from Philippians 3, 13 and 14, and in the Pew Bibles, that is pages 1,654 and 55, 1654, 1655. And this is the New Living Translation. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Jesus Christ, is calling us.
Please mark your song books to 553, please. 553. If you will, turn to 396. After this song, we'll turn it over to Daryl. 596.
Oh, how sweet will be to meet the Lord when He comes in glory by and by. What a song of praise will be outpoured when He comes in glory by and by. How sweet, how sweet, when He comes in the sky. What joy, when He comes in glory by and by. We will have our robes all white as snow when He comes in glory by and by. Oh, be ready with the Lord to go when He comes in glory by and by. How sweet, how how sweet when he comes in the sky. What joy when he comes in glory by and by. I am longing for that happy day when he comes in glory by and by. For with him I hope to soar away when he comes in glory by and by. How sweet when he comes in the sky. What joy when he comes in glory by and by.
Darryl.
Morning. My pleasure and opportunity to be with you again here this morning. The Lord has given us a beautiful day, and not just because of the sunshine, but being the first day of the week when we can come to worship him. And it's just a glorious time to be able to do it, the way that it looks outside. That's so nice to see. Remember Lot's wife? I've always wondered, what was she looking at? What was Lot's wife looking at? Keep that in your mind as we go through the lesson today, because we will take time then towards the end of the lesson to look at his wife, Lot's wife. You know, looking back is something that we all do, whether we're driving a car and we look in the rearview mirror or our side mirrors to see what's behind us. Sitting there and watching that car or that truck get closer and closer, and we wonder, is he going to stop in time? Or maybe we're walking down a dark road at night. A few years back, Karen and I went to Cleveland to a Cavaliers ball game when LeBron James was still in Cleveland. Got out of the game, and we had a hotel room, whatever you want to call it there, in downtown Cleveland. We started walking back toward the hotel there. Started out with a whole bunch of people around us, and then pretty soon, some went this way, some went that way, and pretty soon there's just two people walking down that street, that dark street. Looked over my shoulder, and there's a gentleman walking behind us. Another one off to the side, on the other side of the road. Oh, give me a little bit of a weary feeling. And we got back to the room fine. Those folks were just heading to their rooms as well. But the feeling of looking back, something that we do, no matter what we do. Sometimes we look back at things that go good. Sometimes we look back at and dwell on things of the past with regrets. Why this happened or why that happened. So we're going to take the time to look at some people from the Bible to see what happened, how they dealt with situations. So if you would turn over to Genesis, the 45th chapter. We're going to take a minute to look at Joseph. Now Joseph was the 11th son of Jacob that was born. He was his father's favorite. Jacob gave him the coat of many colors. His brothers resented that. They resented many of the things that Joseph did. Joseph had a couple of dreams there while with his brothers and with his father, one in which the stars would all bow down to his star. Another one where the sheaves all stood up in the field. And their sheaves and his father's sheaves as well all bowed down to Joseph's sheaves. And they began to learn to hate him. Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery. He was bought by Potiphar, where he was there as a servant, rising to the position of the head there in the house The only one greater he made a statement was Potiphar himself. But Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him. Joseph was blamed for something he did not do, was put back in prison later to come out to interpret dreams for Pharaoh, and then become what we would refer to as the prime minister. He directs the country through a famine. His brothers come. And here's what Joseph says when he finally makes known to his brothers, who had no idea who he was. It's been several years. Joseph's appearance had changed. He had matured. He dresses like an Egyptian. Wears the clothes of an Egyptian. His brothers didn't know him. And here in the 45th chapter, Joseph says, the scripture says, Joseph could not restrain himself before all of those who stood by him. And he cried out, "Make everyone go out from me." And no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Does my father still live?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come near me." And they came near. And when he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years, the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 more years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in this land and to save your lives by a great deliverance." Joseph could have looked behind him at what had happened. He could have stood there and in his mind looked back at his past. How his brothers had treated him. They threw him in the pit. They sold him to the Ishmaelites. All the things that had happened in Egypt. And he could have said, "I'm going to get even with them. They're going to pay for what they did." But he didn't. He looked at his brothers and said, "I'm your brother. And don't be afraid. God has sent me here." Joseph looked at what had happened, but he didn't dwell on it. He looked at his position and what he could do. What he could do was take care of and feed a world. Joseph didn't look back. We could look at King David in the book of Psalms, chapter 51 and verse 3. David says these words. This is a psalm that it's believed that was written by David after Nathan had confronted him with the adultery of Bathsheba. David had gone for 9 months to a year. And all that time, we oftentimes think of David as getting along during that period of time as if nothing had happened. But yet, when you look at the Psalms, you find out that during that time period where he had committed the adultery with Bathsheba, where he had consented to the murder of her husband Uriah, and everything else that had occurred, his life had gone into a shambles. It had fallen apart. And here in the 51st chapter, actually, we're going to go back to verse 1. He says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions." What transgressions? Well, there were no doubt a number, but in particular, the adultery with Bathsheba. and the murdery, no, the trickery and the murder of Uriah, her husband, Uriah the Hittite. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. David said, the things that I've done, that I've done, I can't carry them anymore by myself. I can't dwell upon my past anymore. Lord, forgive me. Compare the difference. Joseph had nothing to ask for forgiveness of. Nothing to speak of. I mean, he was probably, as a kid, was just as ornery as any of us, perhaps, growing up. But it was not his fault he had been sold into slavery. He had nothing to blame himself about. And he didn't blame others. Here, David says, this is nobody's fault but my own. The things that I've dealt with, the things that I've done wrong are mine. I take responsibility. Lord, please forgive me. Please forgive me. And we know that David served the Lord from this time on. His whole approach to life was, what can I do to serve my God? And that was the way that he dealt with his life from that day on. How about a man by the name of Elijah? Elijah had gone through the time of Mount Carmel, where the children of Israel had been worshiping the Baals. And they had gone through a period of time, and the Lord God says, we're going to call and we're going to draw a stop to all of this. And he had Elijah come to Mount Carmel. He had the prophets of Baal come, and he said, Elijah said, you call out to your God, and I'll call out to my God, and whoever's God is greatest, they'll send down, and whoever's is the truest, they will send down fire from heaven and consume this altar. So they built their altars. The prophets of Baal built theirs, and they prepared their sacrifices, and they prayed, and they screamed, and they cried, and they cut themselves with knives to a point to where they bled. And their God never answered. Elijah repairs the altar of God. He prepares the sacrifice. He puts the wood on. He puts the sacrifice on top. And he has them bring water and pour it on top of the sacrifice. To the point that the altar was soaked, the sacrifice was soaked, and the small moat that was around it filled up with water. And Elijah prayed to God. And the Lord God sent fire out of heaven that consumed the water, consumed the sacrifice, consumed the wood, consumed the stone, consumed the dirt, till it got down to the bare rock that the altar was set on. The 400 prophets of Baal are killed. Jezebel, the wife of Ahab, says, this isn't going to stop me. He's a dead man, and he's going to be dead by this time tomorrow. And Elijah runs. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. God had just sent fire out of heaven. You had seen his power. But a woman scared the socks off of him. And he ran. And he goes and he hides and he comes to a cave. And when we go over to the book of 1 Kings, the 19th chapter, we find these words as Elijah deals. 1 Kings, chapter 19. beginning at verse 4. He went a day's journey into the wilderness, and he came down and he sat underneath a broom tree, and he prayed that he might die. He had just seen God do a tremendous miracle. Nothing like had ever happened on the face of the earth, with the exception of maybe the flood or the separating, the parting of the waters of the Red Sea. Probably no greater miracle performed. But he wants to die. And in verse 9, you find that he goes into the cave. Then when we get over here to verse 9, it says, he went into a cave and he spent the night in the cave. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said, what are you doing here? Elisha, what are you doing here? Why are you here in this cave? What's going on? You ever have your parents ask you that when you were little? What are you doing? You ever ask that maybe of your kids or the neighbor kids or something? What do you think you're doing? What are you doing here? Lord God's just doing the same thing to Elijah. He's making him think. And he says, I have been very zealous for you, the Lord of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant. They've torn down your altars. They've killed your prophets. They've killed them with the sword, and I alone am left. And they seek to take my life. And the Lord said, go out and stand in the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind tore into the mountain and broke the rocks. And the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord wasn't in the fire. But the Lord, after that, there came a still small voice. And so it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle. He went out and stood in the entrance of the cave, and a voice came to him and said, Elijah, what are you doing here? Elijah, there is so much more to do. Don't dwell on the past. Don't let that take preeminence in your life. Don't let that be what controls your life. The things that you did, he said in the past, Elijah, don't let them control you. There is much more for you to do. The things that scare you, Elijah, the things that concerns you, the things that you worry about, forget them. We've got more for you to do. God said in verse 18, you're not the only one, Elijah. I've got 7,000 more that have not bowed the knee to Baal. I've got more. The Apostle Paul, in Philippians, the 13th chapter and the 14th verse that we had from our reading, says, I forget the things which are behind. I go on. Now, what was Paul's past like? Well, let's look at Acts chapter 22. Paul said, Lord, and he's talking to the Lord God now, they know that I imprisoned people. He's trying to get the Lord to understand, I'm not going to be able to do anything here. These people know about my past. Now you may be sitting there and saying, how can I do good in this community? What good can I do here in New Lex, Shawnee, Hemlock, Corning, Junction City, Somerset? What good can I do? People know my past. Well, they knew the past of the Apostle Paul. They know that I am imprisoned and beat in every synagogue. those who believed on you. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I was standing by and consenting unto his death. And I kept the raiments of those that slew him. Did you ever know that he talked about that before? We oftentimes read how it says they put the coats at the feet of Stephen, but he said, I consented. I was one of them that was saying, get him, kill him, stone him. And then he said unto me, the Lord said unto Saul, depart, because I'm going to send you far from hence. I'm going to send you far away. I'm going to send you to the Gentiles. You're right. They know your past. But he said, there's still places that you can go. People won't know you. There are still things that you can do. And Paul did some good in Jerusalem. There were those that did follow. But his main drive from there on was out into the Gentile world. But you know, even in the Gentile world, there were Jews that pursued him. There were Jews that caused problems. And what Paul say? Yep, that was my past. But I'm going to forget about all that. It's not important what I did. It's important what I can do now. What I can do now. And then Jesus tells us in Luke 17, verse 32. Remember Lot's wife. He said, remember Lot's wife. So, I want us to take a minute to look at Lot's wife. So let's go back over to Genesis chapter 19. We get over here into the 19th chapter of Genesis. We find there's trouble going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, been a lot of trouble going on in Sodom and Gomorrah for a long time. Terrible cities. As bad as we think this world is today, they didn't compare to Sodom and Gomorrah. The sins that went on there. Oh, we're getting close. We're getting close. But it seems like everybody in those cities were evil. And I can say that because of the amount of people that left with Lot, which was only three people, himself, his wife, and his two daughters. And nobody else from those towns left. So here in the 19th chapter, verse 17, it came to pass that he was brought outside, and he was told by the angels, escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plains. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed. And then going down to verse 23. The city had risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar, and the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. And the Lord overthrew the cities of all the plains and the inhabitants of the cities that grew on the ground. But Lot's wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. She became a pillar of salt. Now, the first picture is just kind of some artist's conception of what it might have been like. His wife looking back. The second picture is what, if you're over there traveling and you want to see Lot's wife, this is where you would be taken to, of that structure. She became a pillar of salt, it said. Now, is that her? I have no idea. But that's what your tourist guide would tell you. But let's stop and think. You, whether depending upon whomever you are, we're not worried about the sex of you now, we're going to look, I want you to think about your past. And I want you to think about that as we think of Lot's wife. What did she look back at? Well, there was a big explosion. Yeah, there was a big explosion. What was the command? Don't look back. But what might she have looked back at? Well, might be such a thing as maybe the new house they just built. Three-bedroom home, split-level foyer, you know, beautiful Persian rugs on the floor. The ceiling was vaulted with some kind of a thing they could open up and maybe let the sunshine in, then close it up at night. The way they had it designed, allow it to have ventilation. And they maybe lived in an area that was had a stream right outside, so they could just walk out and get water and bring in. Beautiful house. Maybe she's looking back at her beautiful house. Or maybe the things that was in it. As I mentioned, the new Persian rug. The door that they had just had finished, you know, varnished with all the little things that was in it. Maybe she was thinking back to that new dress that her husband had just bought her for their anniversary. Perhaps she's looking back at and thinking about friends. The ladies that she would go to in the book club, and they would sit and read. Oh, why didn't I try to get them to come with me? Maybe she looked back at thinking about them. Maybe she looked back at family that didn't come. Family that for whatever reason decided they weren't going to follow the example of their mother and father. Did she look back at family that perhaps didn't come out? Perhaps she looked back at regrets. All the things I could have done. What I might have been able to done, to do, if I'd just taken the time. But I would say she looked back because of lack of faith. Lack of faith that God knew what was best. She looked back because of lack of trust in God, that God would deliver her and her husband and her daughters. But she looked back most of all because of lack of obedience. She looked back, thinking about the things that she had lost, thinking about the things that she had done in her youth that she shouldn't have done, looking back at the things that she's done as an adult that she shouldn't have done, having regrets. Yeah. Maybe that's why Lot's wife looked back. Jesus said in Luke 9 and verse 62, coming from the modern English version, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back at things is fit for the kingdom of God. Nobody that looks back at about, without, oftentimes we don't understand that. Because plowing is a little bit different for the most part, with using a tractor than it is with a horse or an ox or a cow. You've pretty much got to keep your attention right ahead with them because of what's in the ground, what's going on. That horse, that ox, that cow that you might be using, mule, whatever, has its own mind. And if you're looking back, it's going to take off wherever it wants. And Jesus says, if you look back If you look back and you dwell on, you desire those things, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. You're not fit. So I want you to think about this. If you dwell on the past, complain and grumble about the past, you are like salt that has lost its saltiness. You will become of no good use to anyone. Get that? You'll become of no good use to anyone. Not yourself, not loved ones, not friends, not family. You'll be only a burden to take others down. If all you do is dwell upon your past and you have regrets about it and you whine about it and you grumble about it, you're doing nobody any good, and all you're doing is bringing everybody down. And the Apostle Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, I press on toward the mark, the high calling that's there. I press on. What did he press on for? Heaven. He said, I can't change anything I've done in the past. I can't bring Stephen back to life. I can't unhurt any of those Christians that I hurt. But what I can do is I can go forward. I can go on with my life and be of as much encouragement to other people and love to other people that I can possibly be. I can reach out to my neighbors and tell them about Christ. I can tell the people who will listen. But sitting at home saying, oh, woe is me, isn't going to do anyone any good. So the question I'm going to leave you with today is, will you forget your past and follow Christ? The note on this little picture is, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. And that's what Christ said. If you're going to follow me, you can't turn around and dwell on the past and look at the past. All you can do is move forward. I will give you the strength, I will give you the love, I will give you the care that you need to move forward. I will forgive you of your sins, and we go from there. So this morning we offer the invitation. You've never named Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior by confessing him as the Son of God and putting him on in baptism and repenting of your sins. Then arising to walk the new way of life. You've never done that, then you need to. But if you have, and you look back, and you think about your past, and you dwell on it, you need to let go of that. Put your hands back on the plow and follow Christ. Maybe you need to go to him in prayer and ask for his forgiveness. Or maybe you need to come forward and let us help you in whatever fashion it needs to be. But if you need to come, will you come at this time as together we stand and sing?
Have you a heart that's weary, tending a load of care? Are you a soul that's seeking rest from the burden you bear? Do you know my Jesus? Do you know my friend? Have you heard he loves you and that he will abide till the end? Where is your heart, O pilgrim? What does your light reveal? Who hears your call for comfort when not but sorrow you feel? Do you know, my Jesus? Do you know, my friend? Have you heard he loves you and that he will abide till the end? Who knows your disappointments? Who hears each time you cry? Who understands your heartaches? Who dries the tears from your eyes? Do you know, my Jesus? Do you know, my friend? Have you heard he loves you and that he will abide till the end?
Please be seated. I'd like to thank Daryl for a fine lesson this morning. Appreciate it. Please turn to 133. Let's prepare our minds to take the Lord's Supper.
I believe in the one they call Jesus. I believe he still stormed Galilee. I believe that he walked on the water. And I believe that he's the answer for me. Yes, I believe in the one they call Jesus. I believe he died on Mount Calvary. And I believe that the tomb was found empty. And I believe that he's the answer for me. I believe in the words of the Bible, how he made the poor blind man to see. I believe that the deaf ears were open, and I believe he's made a difference in me. Yes, I believe in the one they call Jesus. I believe he died on Mount Calvary. And I believe that the tomb was found empty. And I believe that he's the answer for me. I believe that he spoke to dead Lazarus, and he said, unbind and set free. I believe that he reigns up in heaven, and I believe that he is coming again.
Yes, I believe in the one they call Jesus. I believe he died on Mount Calvary. And I believe that the tomb was found empty. And I believe that he's the answer for me. This time now we'll give thanks for bread and fruit of the vine. Let's remember what our Lord done on the cross. You know, a lot of people believe that, yeah, Jesus died. He's a good man. But do we believe that he rose again from the dead? I believe the Bible teaches that. That's the important thing. He rose again. So let's go to God in prayer and give God thanks for what his Son has done for us, his precious body. Almighty Father, we thank you so much for your Son, Jesus, who suffered and died on that cross. But he just didn't die. You raised him again from the dead. And he is alive just like we're here now. And we pray that you'll bless this bread for its intended purpose, that our thoughts will be on the death of our Lord. Upon the first day of the week, as your word says, the disciples came together to break bread. Thank you, God. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Likewise, let's give thanks for the fruit of the vine, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the gift of your Son and his precious blood. Without him doing this, we'd have no hope of going to heaven. And here we have to be obedient to you and his word to go to heaven. Thank you for his precious blood, the suffering he went through for us. In Christ's name, amen. Also, we give this time to give back to God. Let's go to God in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, as we come to the end of this service, we pray that everything has been done, has been according to your word and will. Help us always be sound in the scriptures. And now as we give back, Father, help us give back as you've prophesied us. Help us do it in love and cheerfully. And thank you so much for each one here this morning. We praise you, God, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Now I have announcements.
Good morning, church. Nice to see everybody out today. Have a few announcements. Sue McGreevy, not here this morning. She's sick, unable to be here. Get a bulletin. There are several things going on in area congregations. Our meeting's coming up in April 21st to the 23rd with Terry Townsend. Ladies' Day at Somerset coming up on the 20th. Golden Agers at New Concord coming up on the 6th of April. So like I say, get a bulletin. There's a lot going on. Also in the bulletin, unfortunately, there's a whole bunch of sick people listed. Seems like more sick than well. Kayla, she's back with us, and I'm glad to see she's back. Somerset also is going to have this is not until May 28th. They're going to have a financial person come in and give a talk on how you can take control of your finances. Also here, have a thank you. Thank you all so very much for the thoughtfulness of all the diapers and gifts. We're greatly appreciated. That's from Lisa and Taylor. Is there anything that I haven't announced that should be announced that I don't know about? If not, if you're able, please stand and we'll be led in closing prayer.
Dear God, we thank you for this day, Lord, another time, Lord. You have allowed us to come here to study that word, Lord. And Lord, we're so thankful for the many lessons that we've been doing, Lord, upon each and every one of us, Lord. And Lord, we pray, Lord, for your blessings, Lord. And most of all, Lord, we pray, Lord, that we would live a life, please, into thy word, Lord. Lord, I'm so thankful for my brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, and everything that you do for us. Be with those that sit upon the prayer, Lord. Reach down and touch in each and every one of them, Lord. Lord, it's physical or spiritual, Lord. I pray, Lord, if it we can the spirit, Lord, that you would be lifted up, Lord. And Lord, if it we can their health, Lord, that you would strengthen, Lord. We know, Lord, you have all power over heaven and earth, Lord. Be with those that storm the chest, Lord. Let everything turn out good, Lord God. And Lord God, we're so thankful for you and what you've done for us upon Calvary. So someday, Lord, we all should be can enter into thy gate, Lord. We live a life, please, into thy word. Strengthen us, Lord, and help us in all phases of life, Lord, to live a life, please, unto thee. And we ask forgiveness of our sins in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, one other thing here. We have a young man who I have a birthday this week. I believe that's what I was told.